God bless you guys. Amen. You are a real treat. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. We're not over, by the way. That was the introduction. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today. Father, we do celebrate this 50 years. God, that's a wonderful thing. And we thank you, Lord, for those in this congregation that have led the way in strong marriages. God, pointing to each one of us that it can be done and it can be wonderful when you do it God's way. So, Lord, we pray for many, many more years of health and blessing upon them. God, we pray for this service today as we're talking about something that we rarely talk about. God, we need your direction, and I need, Lord, the folks to open up their hearts and minds to understanding. God, even if they have a wonderful marriage or if they're not married, God, we want everyone to be able to apply the word today. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you're my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. The last part of that verse in Proverbs 24, it says, by these three words, wisdom and understanding and knowledge, you'll have precious and pleasant riches. That's not things. You hear me? You don't hook a U-Haul on the back of your car or your, what's the thing that pulls the hearse. You don't take it with you. It's memories. You know the greatest memories are created from the toughest times? It's when you go through something that you would have never chosen to go through that creates, when you let God in there, and him heal the heart and him lead the way, those create precious times in a marriage and in your life. I promise you that the loves could stand and tell you of many times of difficulty that they have walked through together, and they are endeared together through these 50 years by what they have walked through. It somehow, I don't understand it all, but somehow it binds our heart. I look at the Cox back here. Good to have you home, hon. And so she's went through a trial recently of physical sickness. Since very scary, could have took her out. Touch and go there for a while. That big guy over there that looks so tough never left her side. I promise you, you'll never forget this time. That it's times like that that builds a home and that builds these precious memories that you'll never forget. And it's not just in marriage. It's in other relationships too. It's actually with your Jesus. You know, Jesus doesn't just lead us down the golden road of no problems. Oftentimes, he leads through very difficult times. I quoted this verse in Sunday school. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. That's not talking about death. That's talking about the shadow. They just went through the shadow of death. Others of you, Arthur has went through the shadow of death and come through it. You guys have come through these difficult times, and it takes wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and it takes Jesus to get us through. But when you do, I'm telling you, when you first get saved and you worship Jesus, you say, thank you for saving me, hallelujah. How many times can I say that during a worship service? But when you've been serving the Lord for a little while, you say, oh, thank you for delivering me. Thank you for healing my body back in 2024. Thank you, Lord, that when my son was going astray, he come back to you. You get that? I mean, it's the difficulties that make the most precious memories. Hallelujah. We're going to read two verses in the Old Testament. It's also in the New Testament in Matthew, I think it was 19, when Jesus quotes this. And the verse says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. And when Jesus is quoting it, he says that God created a man and a woman. Isn't it a shame that a preacher of the gospel has to take the time to say, and there are no other things that ever come into this? I don't care what United States says, what the Supreme Court says, this is acceptable. If it's not acceptable to the Word of God, if it's not acceptable to Jesus, it ought not be acceptable to us. So, God saw that Adam was needed someone. So he took a rib out of his side and he created this thing that he called Eve. And we read this scripture and where Adam says, well, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and I shall call her Eve, mother of all living. And it didn't go like that, folks. It don't go like that. It probably went something like this. Ouch, God, I can't believe you made her for me. Hallelujah. She looks pretty good, Lord. That's much better than that chimpanzee I had my eye on. We read the scripture sometime with no excitement, but I'm telling you, when he brought Eve to Adam, there was, this is bone on my bone. Folks, do you remember having excitement in your marriage? Do you remember when the things, you know, life has a way of getting boring. My aunt told me one time on my epitaph, on her graveside, just write, her life was boring. Well, it's anything but boring. Sometimes we need to stir things up, though. So God has given us the keys. I'm so thankful for a man called Jimmy Evans that took these two verses and said, there's got to be something here. And he dug these nuggets out of this. He's passed them on to the body of Christ, and that's what I'll be passing on to you. So the first law that we see of marriage, and yes, it is a law, just like there's natural laws, there's spiritual laws, says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother. We have the law of priority. Our marriages are to be more important than any other relationship that we have on earth. Not talking about Christ, talking about earthly relationships. This is number one. Listen to me, because some of you will disagree. The marriage relationship is more important than your relationship with your children. The way you give your kids a firm foundation to leap off into the future is by having a strong marriage. Protect this relationship. And I promise you, I'm not saying that kids are not important. Kids are vitally important. And it's going to appear sometimes that they are the priority because they're going to take some priority occasionally. But just remember to keep your marriage as a priority. There's a verse in Exodus chapter 34 where God reveals something about himself that we sometimes have difficulty with. And he says, I am a jealous God. And we only see jealousy when it's sort of out of proportion. And it's usually evil. But in James, he comes back and he says, the Spirit of God yearns jealously for you. Do you realize that God is jealous for a relationship with you? So when you're crowding him out and putting everything in his place where he should be, God gets jealous. There is a right jealousy that protects your relationship with your wife and your relationship with your husband. We need to maintain that this must be a priority of our life. There are four ways that you can prove this is a priority. There are And I think today we have cheapened our words so much that we just say, I love my wife and I love cheeseburgers, you know, and we sort of just put them on the same level. I love my little puppy. I love you, honey. And so we're cheapening our words. You know, believe me, how many people do you know says, oh, I'm a Christian, but are they living a Christian life, a Christ-like life? Nowhere close to it. Right? It's a perversion of the gospel. So there's ways that you can prove, and you will prove, is this really a priority? Number one, what are you willing to sacrifice for your marriage? What will you put aside to show him or her how valuable they are to you? Does everything come before your wife? Does everything come before your husband? It ought not. How much time will you give to this marriage? How much energy will you give? And what is your attitude? Is your attitude one? Treva tells me all the time, I love spending time with you. Well, of course she does. You know, I'm like, of course. Why? Because 43 years we have developed a relationship and we have not let it die. Does that make sense? Don't you know people that would rather be at the dentist chair than be at home with their spouse? I mean, I'll be anywhere except for home. I just hate being at home. Isn't it amazing how we have allowed the world to inflict us, right word, on what we think God has done. We think just being able to manage and hold together that this is God's gift of marriage. No, no. God's gift of marriage is a blessing on your life. This is how He wants to develop you. He wants to bless you. He wants to teach you how to get through difficult times and how to deal with difficult people by giving you a wife. Let's go. No. or a husband, let me say. So it must be a priority with us. Number two, he says, and you'll be joined or cleave to your wife. In other words, before marriage, we tend to listen to what our parents say. Let them influence our life. Let them direct us. But there comes a time after marriage where you have to say, what do you think, honey? What we need to come together. I told this story. There was a person that we know when they got married, the mother-in-law came over to visit, and she decided that new daughter-in-law had their living room furniture set up the wrong way. So the next day when the daughter-in-law went to work, mother-in-law came over and set it right. She came over and moved all her furniture and made it right. That would not be difficulty to leave and cleave on that one. I can imagine a cleaver coming to mind in that, but you know, that's when you overstep your bounds. This is the law of pursuit. The easiest way to talk to you about what the law of pursuit is by saying the law of pursuit is what gets you to the altar. Husbands, this usually falls on us by and large. We are very visual people, mostly. And so we see a gal that turns our head, and we begin to talk to her, and we begin to like her, and we begin to make ourselves presentable. And the things that you do with your buddy, you would never do in front of this new gal. Right? You are only showing her your good side until after the wedding. Right? It's the law of pursuit. But a woman wants to be pursued all of her life. Don't just get me to the altar. I want you to show interest to pursue me all your days. Wives, husbands like that too. And so what happens is people get married because they were pursuing each other, and then all of a sudden this man feels a responsibility. Now I got to provide for her. Now I've got all these things that's coming into my mind that I've got to do, and he changes his perspective. No longer is it to the woman that he absolutely loves. He still loves her. But now all of a sudden, he is pursuing other things. He's moving in a different direction. And I promise you, this will tear up your marriage. Many men, 40 hours is not enough. Many women, 40 hours of work is not enough. They have that, and then they do many other things. They're chasing this one, and they're chasing that, and they're trying to make themselves prosperous. Can I just say, money will not bring you joy. Money will not bring you happiness in your home. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Money will not bring those precious and pleasant riches that we just talked about. But the laws of God will. The laws of God work. But you must pursue her or him. The same way with your walk with God. When you get saved, you can't just say, "Ah, got my ticket punched. I got everything I need. Now I'm going to go try to make $1 million. Now I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that." No, no. God is a jealous God. He wants you to pursue him all the days of your life. David said, "As the deer pants for the water, so my heart pants." Do you get that? He says, "Lord, I just want to be with you. I want to know you." That word "know" is that intimate knowledge. Intimacy, Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, these laws will help you in every relationship that you have. It will help you at work, but it's designed to help your marriage. It's the law of pursuit. Continue to pursue your marriage. There's misconceptions today that have come into the home, and I think it's because we get so much of our knowledge of marriage off the Hallmark Channel rather than the Word of God. Guys, the Hallmark Channel, ladies, that doesn't work that way. That's nonsense. It doesn't always work out perfectly. That first kiss is not going to be exactly that way. He's not going to come riding in on a horse and save you out of your destruction. The misconception, number one, says, if I marry the right person, I won't have to work at this. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. I don't care who you married, you're going to have to work at your relationship. When my mother told me that when I was a kid, I thought, why do you have to work at marriage? And then I got married. Bing! A little light went on. You know, if you you build a perfect house, you build a great house, and shut the doors and turn the lights off and lock the doors and just move away from it, you know what happens? It will deteriorate quicker than if you're living there. It will fall apart, and so will your marriage. If you leave it, it will deteriorate. If you build it, it will get better. You know, marriage is designed to be better with every year. Ooh, I'm preaching to the right crowd, obviously. We will be doing marriage counseling after church, by the way. Number two, if my emotions change, then obviously we're out of love and I must have married the wrong person. It's not true. See, love is not an emotion. Love is a decision. Now, it produces a lot of emotions, but emotions ebb and flow in life. There were times when we first got married, man, I just want to put Treva in my pocket and go to work. I just loved her so much. And there was other times when I thought, oh, Jesus, what have I done? you determine in your mind, I love her. She loves me. And regardless of how I feel at the moment, let me say this. You've been serving Jesus for a little while. There are times in your relationship with Jesus where you will have mountaintop experiences with Him. Oh, buddy, I just feel the emotion and the love of Christ so much, so strong right now. And then there are other times when you will look towards heaven and you'll say, are you anywhere up there? Hey, can you still hear me? Do you know my name? Emotions, don't let emotions lead your life. Make a decision towards Him, God, but towards each other. I covet with you. We'll live our lives together and we will love each other. Number three, positive events should fuel the emotions for a long time. In other words, husbands, you put together a plan where you're going to take your wife out to a nice restaurant. You get a child care. You get it all situated. You clean up the car. You dress up. You tell her about it. You take her out and wine and dine her. And you have a wonderful evening together. And then the next day she wakes up. And she says, well, what are you going to do for me today, big boy? Those points left in the evening, they don't last very long. Now, the way I was told, diamond rings last a little longer than most things. So if you're in a tough spot, try a diamond. No, I'm teasing. I am teasing. Now they come alive. Sometimes we try to love people in the way that we receive love. And people receive love differently, even you. Every one of you would receive love for me maybe in a different way. I can do something for you and it might not mean anything, but then I could do something else and it might ring your bell. It may say, well, the pastor really does love me. Why? Because I hit on your love language. It was Dr. Gary Chapman that came up with this book. It's brilliant. It's a simple, simple book. It takes about 2 hours to read. I mean, every Christian ought to read this book. They even have one now, Love Languages of Your Children. I've never read it, but I think it'd probably be wise to. But he says there's certain ways. So one of the ways that I used to try to love Treva is by acts of service. So I would tell her, hey, why don't you drive my truck today? Treva doesn't clean her car at all. She doesn't realize they're supposed to be vacuumed out. And so I'll say, take my truck to work today, not telling her what I'm doing. I'm going to surprise her. And so I spend the whole morning, you know, washing and waxing and vacuuming that and cleaning the... And so she gets home and I said, you notice anything? Well, it looks like you cleaned my car. I did. She'll say, thanks. I'm like, thanks? It didn't ring her bell. You get it? It didn't ring her bell at all. But you know what rings her bell? Hey, can we have 20 minutes together and let's just sit down, drink a cup of coffee together? Just you and me. Absolutely. That hits it for her. Why? Because she's a quality time gal. Quality time is what builds her, what fills her love language up. And many of you, that's what, all you want is a few minutes of my time or a few minutes of your spouse's time. And when we first got married, no, that book wasn't written. Nobody told me about those things. I love to read the newspaper. And so I would sit in the house and I'd read that newspaper from cover to cover. And she would be talking and I'd be grunting. Until one day, she came by me, sitting in my chair, doing my thing. And she hits that newspaper, whop, knocks it out of my hand. And I'm like, what have I done? What are you doing, woman? Isn't that our favorite expression? What are you doing, woman? And then I realized what I was doing. And she told me what I was doing. She needed that time. We had these three little guys that we were raising. We both worked full time. We both had jobs at the church, major jobs at the church. I mean, we were stressed. We were stretched thin. But we had to make time for each other. And I realized that's what she needs. Now, I'm sort of a words of affirmation guy. Just tell me how wonderful I am, would you? I mean, I know it, but I just want to make sure you know it, right? You know, a woman is basically the biggest cheerleader that her husband has. It doesn't really matter to a man what anybody else says about him, but it matters what you say about him. And so his ego, even as large it is, as large as it is very fragile. And so that's one of the ways that I think a lot of men are word people. They like to know that, you know, just like the way when your wife, and I use these gender roles and they don't even make sense anymore, quite honestly. Whoever cooks in your house, if they go through a lot of difficulty and make a great meal, they would like for you to notice. They don't want to see you swallow that with whole bites in 6 minutes and then go to your chair. They want you to sit down and take little bites. Treva's always saying, "Did you eat that in 2 bites? Well, it was only a candy bar. They want you... You'll be all right. You'll make it through this. You'll get your turn. There's acts of service, which I've already talked about. Then there's giving gifts. And these are not necessarily big gifts. You know, sometimes, men, if you're just driving home and you notice a large field of your favorite, of your wife's favorite flowers, and you go into that cemetery and you cut those... That just popped in my mind. Make sure you throw the cards away. You know, see, you might be going through Walmart and pick her up a toothbrush or a hairbrush and say, "Hey, I just noticed today that your toothbrush is wearing out and I thought about you." Do you hear those words? I thought about you. And that's what it's all about. Wives want to be thought about. Not just at bedtime. Matter of fact, if bedtime is off, chances are it's because the rest of this is off. The last thing is non-sexual physical touch. Some people are very touchy-feely. My brother, he's got his hands on his wife all the time. If they're sitting together, he's touching her some way. That would drive me crazy. I'm like, "Oh, dear God, get your hands off of me." But for them, that works, you know? And you know what I've noticed? I notice that a lot of times the opposites are in the marriage. So one is and one is not. This is not sexual in any way. It's just holding hands. Or, you know, when we walk, Treva wants to hold my hand. So I hold her hand while we walk. But it's a bit of an effort. You know, because I know I love my wife. I love my wife. Those things don't come into my mind. When we drive down the road, she likes to hold my hand. She likes to put her hand on me. When we first got married, I'd start to pull it back. But, you know, now I'm like, okay, let her get her love tank full. And so I have to work at that. She doesn't. She likes that. Chances are that's the same way in your marriage. One of you do. Maybe both of you do. That's wonderful. But are you getting me? Sometimes you have to go the extra mile, even if it's not you. Why? Because you love that person. I counseled a young couple one time that they had abused all these laws. There's no couple in this church. Years ago, their marriage was over for all intents and purposes, and it did dissolve. But boy, this young man was fighting so hard to get it back. He worked full time, had animals that he raised, farmed on the side. He had time for everything except for her. And that went on for several years until it didn't. You hear me? It's that law of pursuit. And all of a sudden, she said, "This is not working. This is over." And they heard of me somehow, and they called me up, and they said, "Will you talk to us?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll talk to you." So they come out, and this young man just would try to hug his wife, try to love, and she wouldn't have it. "Don't you hold my hand. Don't put your hands on. You hadn't touched me for 7 years. Don't do it now. I'm not playing games." Her heart had become so hard. She even wrote me a nasty letter. Said, "Nothing you did helped us." I didn't charge them. I'm not a professional counselor. I just heard you were in trouble and I tried to help. But you get what I'm saying? Our hearts can get so hard that it's over. But why not get it back when you can get it back? So wisdom would say, if you're married today, listen. Listen, because I don't care how good your marriage is, it can be better. It can be better. I don't care how good your relationship with Christ is or your... You know, I said this in the first service, I'm not a very good friend. I'm not good at friendships because I don't pursue them. I love them, but I'm not one that calls all the time and says, "How are you? And are you doing good?" And it's just not me. I have a spiritual daughter, Latoya. She's the best person I've ever seen at relationships. Why? Because she won't let them go. She develops relationships with people and she keeps connecting with them. Anybody that you have a relationship with, if you cut it off, if you quit pursuing it, it will die. It will go away. You can tell when you have a really special friend, when you don't talk for a long time, and when you do get back together, it feels like you've never left. That's a special friend. That's a God thing, isn't it? Go on. The spirit of marriage is giving, not taking. Now, I know that that may sound weird to some, but some people go into marriage for what they can get. The greatest marriages in the world are two servants in love, serving each other. It's called the law of possession. The two shall become one flesh. The law of possession, not meaning that you own each other, which the Corinthians does say that. Her body belongs to you, my body belongs to her. There is a type of possession there. But what this is talking about is when you go into a marriage covenant, anything that you have individually now becomes yours corporately. And anything that you refuse to give up will become a wedge in your marriage, even if that's children. So this is not a big deal if you're 21 years old and getting married, but if you're 35 years old and getting married for the second time, and you have all these children, and you say, "I love you, baby, I love you, I love you, but keep your hands off my kids," don't marry that person. Because that will form a wedge in your relationship. You have to surrender everything. You know, when we got married, this is crazy, but when we got married, I had a brand new piano sitting in my bedroom. I mean, it was beautiful, but I don't play the piano. I can show you, but I won't. But I married a piano player. But had I said, "Keep your hands off my piano, that's mine." I know that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But do you realize that piano wouldn't have done anybody any good? We love it. I love it when my wife goes to the piano and starts playing. I just love it. It ministers. It just fills our house. Because the only thing she knows is worship songs. So she's just playing the music that you sing to. But how ridiculous would it have been to say, that's mine, keep your hands off of it. And yet we do that. You got to surrender it. If you got money and you get married, you got half that money now. And that can be a wedge. You got to surrender it. And Jason Tucker said, I said, remember, what's yours? And he said, is hers now. And I said, yeah, pretty much that's it. Marriage equals sharing. The last one says, they were naked and not ashamed. And it's the law of purity. And we all understand this. Every one of us understands this. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4 said, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all sexually immoral. God wants us to keep purity in our marriage bed. And I'm going to say some things that you are going to say, Pastor, you ought not talk like that in the church. And I agree with you. Wholeheartedly, I agree with you. I'm ashamed that I have to talk about stuff like this in the church. People are now bringing a third person into their marriage. Moving somebody in and just saying, hey, be our third part. That's not right. It's never been right and never will be right. It's not right if you think, I want to spice up our marriage life just a little bit, so let's go rent a video. That's wrong. It's sin. It's adultery. And when you're making love to your wife, make love to your wife, not to some gal you saw at the restaurant. It's called fantasy. And the world says, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with fantasy. Oh, yes, there is. The Bible says, when you look upon a woman with those thoughts, you committed adultery. Thank God for the words of Christ. You keep your mind pure. Your bedroom will be pure if you keep your mind pure. The world is sweeping all kinds of things into our society. And I don't care what the Supreme Court says. The highest court in the land can tell you this is right or that's right. Guys, we've already got the highest court in the land, and it's in that book you hold. That's the highest court. That's the truth. Keep your marriage pure. The marriage is about becoming open, and we think about they were naked and not ashamed, and so we think that's physically, and it is, but it also means that he wants us to be, this is your life partner, your wife, your husband. You should be emotionally naked. You should be spiritually naked with each other. Do you know, I wish Dale Miller was here. They're all at a family reunion. It changed his marriage when he started praying for his wife out loud. Changed his marriage. When he, are you kidding me, Eric? No, I'm not kidding you. It's that simple. How many husbands and wives cannot pray for each other, cannot pray together? You need to get naked. That didn't go exactly the way I had in my mind. Spiritually, you need to get naked with each other and become vulnerable. Do you know what intimacy means? When you say, I want to be intimate with the Lord, into me see God. There are way too many secrets in marriage. God can't bless secrets. When David had secret sin, he said his bones decayed inside of him. Think about that in your marriage. When you have secret sins in your marriage, Your wife doesn't know you're on the pornography sites, but God does. And it's going to destroy you, and it's going to destroy your marriage. There's nothing good that happened. Are you following me? Folks, this is where we live. And this is what society will tell us now it's okay. And I'm telling you, it's not okay. By the authority of the Word of God. You want a great marriage? Keep it pure. Keep it honorable. And let your wife see your emotions. Now, I don't mean rage. That's the one that we do share. Share with her what's going on in your mind. My wife, when we first got married, she would always say, "A penny for your thoughts." She eventually quit asking me that because she thought she was being robbed. I don't think they're worth a penny. Men can sit and think about nothing. And women can't conceive of that. Your minds are always working. Ladies, it's like a keyboard. It's always going. And men, we can just sit down and just chill out. It's amazing the differences. You know, sometimes you might think that God put us together as opposites just to frustrate us. Right? He didn't. He actually put opposites together to complete you. You see, your wife is different than you are. Very different. And I'm not just talking about her body. I'm talking about her mind. Very different. She sees things totally different than you do. And you will be a wise man and you will make better decisions when you get her thoughts on that situation. Wives, same thing goes with you. Consult your husband. Now, I will say this. He will try to fix it. And sometimes you have to tell your husband, "I need to tell you something, honey. And I don't want you to fix it. I just need you to listen to me." This is good marriage counseling 101. This will help you out a tremendous amount. I've just came to tell you this. God wants your marriage blessed. He wants to produce a wonderful, wonderful memories and gifts in your marriage so that one day I can give you a cup that says Mr. Right and Mrs. Always Right. So you can be a blessing. Do you know this world is losing hope? You know why people are living together all the time? Because they don't think marriage works. Why not just save the lawyer expense and we'll just do it our own way? Let's just live together. It's the same as marriage, right? It's the same. Let's just live together. That way, when we divorce or when we split, we don't have to pay our lawyer fees. That makes really good sense to me. Except it's antichrist. It might be logical, but it ain't God's logic. We better do things God's way. God doesn't bless marriage. God doesn't bless sex outside of marriage. Let's just make that as plain as possible. I don't care if you're 16 or whether you're 61 or 85. If you're not married, you're living a celibate life. Bless God for that enthusiasm. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm in a Pentecostal church. Hallelujah. So, what happens when we're promiscuous? The Bible says when a man and wife comes together, they become one flesh. We understand that a little bit. Physically, we don't understand it spiritually. See, in the spirit, there's a connection in sex. And what's happened is we have a church full of people that have connected with a lot of people. And spiritually, they are connected with people all over the world. Does this make sense to you? What do? You ask Jesus to forgive you. Number one, God, forgive me. I was moving in my own flesh. I was doing the things that please me, and forgive me for that. And then here's the second thing that most people do not know. You need to ask God to break that soul tie. See, when you have had relationships with someone, you have got a soul tie now. S-O-U-L. A soul tie. That is connecting you spiritually. And you need to ask Jesus, break that off. Some of you may be connected to a demon. To a witch. I know you think I'm being foolish right now. I'm not. I talk to too many people. There are some real, real dark stuff in our world right now. And we better open our eyes. See, the Bible says in the last days, people would be deceived. The spirit of deception is moving across our land, not just in America, across the world. And even Christians are being deceived today into doing things that they heard when they were 8 and 9 years old in Sunday school class. You don't do that. We have this philosophy, if it pleases me, if we're consensual, it's okay. That's not true. It's entirely possible for both of you to be wrong. And when you violate the Word of God, you're both wrong. Are you following me? So God's not mad at you. Do you hear me? I mean that. God's not mad at you. But God loves you. Remember that verse I quoted? The Spirit of the Lord yearns earnestly, jealously for you. He wants to bless you, but you've got a tie out there that's connecting you with something evil that you hadn't thought about in 30 years. Let's break it today. Amen? It's not a big deal. It's just saying, God, I can't do anything about that, but you can break it off, and He will. He'll break it today. Would you stand with me? I was talking about the world is losing hope. It's things like celebrating 50 years of marriage. And I used to do that when we first started our church and we had 60, 70 people. We celebrated, if somebody had a 50-year anniversary, I would celebrate and we would do something. And then our church started growing and I quit that because it became a lot. And through the process of this, I thought, we got to start celebrating this again. We've got to start holding this up and saying, it's possible. You can celebrate long marriages, happy marriages, good marriages, God-filled marriage. You hear me, young people? Not all marriages end in divorce. Matter of fact, the world will tell you 50% of marriages fail. That's not true for first marriages. It's actually around 70% of first marriages are successful. But when you consider the second and third and the fourth marriage, then the statistic keeps going down. So what do? You pray about the first marriage. You make sure you get God's wisdom on that. And then you live according to these laws. Are you following me? It's just like I'm writing a prescription today. Dr. Kelleher is in, and he's going to write you a prescription. Here's what you need to do, and this will fix your marriage. And you think I'm ridiculous. I'm not ridiculous, but I sound ridiculous even to me. I'm telling you, the Word of God can solve your problems. He can heal your marriages. He can restore love when you think there is no restoration. He can get you out of a pit, buddy, can't He? God will work for you if you will ask Him. Goes back to that Word. If you call on me, I'll do great things, but you got to lay hold of the promises of God. Father God, we come before you right now, Lord. I pray, God, that the hearts of people have been enticed to receive your wisdom and to make a change. God, for those that are married today, Lord, improve their marriages. Lord, for those that are not married but one day will be, Lord, I pray, God, that this word would be just buried in good ground in their heart so that when they choose to get married, that they'll do things your way right the first time. Father, for those that need to ask forgiveness and those that need to ask that soul ties would be broke off of them, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation right now. I pray for those people that have foolishly connected themselves, Lord, that right now they're thinking, oh, this was a mistake. I wish I hadn't done it, but you did. God, forgive them and break these attachments, these spiritual attachments. Break them off in Jesus' name. Let them never have to bear the fruit of that action. God, let them have some crop failures right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Denny, there you are. Denny's going to end with a blessing, but before he blesses you, he's going to share a testimony God did in his life. You might want to sit down for just a second.
Tried to donate blood whenever I could, but I went last summer, and they, if you've never donated, they take your vitals, you know, before they do it, and they said, well, your iron's too low, we can't let you donate. I thought, well, that's weird. So I didn't get my t-shirt that time or anything, so I was kind of bummed about that. But then I went back a few weeks later, and they said, okay, your iron's fine, you can donate. Oh, cool, I get my t-shirt, my little Debbie cake, and everything's great. So went to do it again. They said, well, your iron's too low. So, well, this doesn't really make sense because I don't have like ulcers or anything or any reason for that to be. So as an act of service, because I'm an active service guy, so as an act of service to my wife, I agreed to go to the doctor and get regular blood work done and figure out why my iron is low. So I went to the doctor and they checked it. They said, yeah, you're low. Said usually it's something in your digestive tract. So usually you have like an ulcer or a polyp in your intestine or something like that that's causing that. So they said, well, you're 44 now. Normally we start doing colonoscopies at 45. So she said, why don't we just start your colonoscopy early? And that way we can, and since we don't know anything, we'll do an upper scope too. So they'll go down your throat and look at your stomach. That's okay. So back in March is when I had that scheduled. So the Sunday before, I come up with Dale and Joyce and had them pray with me about my colonoscopy and all that. So had that done, and I went and talked to the doctor, and he said, well, there was one large polyp in your large intestine. We took that out and got that cleaned up. He said, but when we went did the upper scope and looked in your stomach for if you had any ulcers, he said, we found there was 10 or 15 golf ball sized polyps in your stomach. And he said, that's strange. He said, do you take antacids regularly or anything? I said, no. He said, well, normally when people take a lot of antacid, they get that. He said, we'll just change them on something else. That'll go away on its own. Everything will be fine. But if you don't take that, then the only other thing is this rare genetic disorder that causes stomach polyps. He said, I've only seen it 3 times in the 30 years I've been doing this. So he said, we'll schedule you for another one. We'll take some more out, send them to Vanderbilt. They'll do their genetic testing or whatever. He said, more than likely, it just means that you'll have to come back once a year or so and we'll clean them out. And you should be okay otherwise than that. So I went back for my second scope Tuesday of last week, and after it was done, the doctor came out and talked to my wife in the waiting room. He said, I gotta be honest, I'm kind of stumped because it's looking like a completely different stomach than I saw 6 weeks ago. He said, it's nothing. So it went from having a stomach full of large polyps to having two little bitty ones about the, he said, the size of the tip of his pinky. But that was it. So either I have multiple stomachs like a cow, or God healed me. One or the other. I don't know. No, but God is faithful. And the funny part is, last Sunday, I had every intention. I said, well, I got my scope on Tuesday. I'm going to go up for prayer on Sunday. And somebody, one of the deacons, pray for me, you know. And honestly, I forgot. So, but God was faithful that when Dale and Joyce prayed for me 6 weeks ago, God was still faithful to that prayer, and he healed me. So I praise the Lord for that. Amen. All right, stand with me, please. Real quick, if you're part of the safety, security team, support team, excuse me, they're meeting immediately after service in the back. So, and then they still have the note up here to remind you, if you have kids in Children's Church, make sure you take your receipt back there and sign them out, or else they live here from now on. You can't do that. So, anyway, raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve Him.